You're listening to Wheelationships.
I'm assuming you've already met our little friend, Anger. That's what we're going to talk about. And, of course, Anger isn't always so small and cute and fuzzy. But so let's get personal with you this morning as we talk about anger and some hope and understanding. Have you ever gotten mad, okay, and this is actually, I want to know here, have you ever gotten mad because someone cut in line or cut you off while driving? Someone misunderstood what you said. Someone ignored your feelings. Okay. Have you ever gotten mad because of a relationship breakup? Okay. Not everybody. Okay. Good for some of you. Because of feeling trapped, smothered, or controlled by someone or something. Okay. Ever gotten mad because you feel like a failure? Okay. All right. Ever gotten mad because someone broke your trust? Okay, more serious and personal, and you may not want to answer out loud. I understand. Ever got mad because of past abuse? Ever gotten mad because someone lied to you? Ever got mad because you had to wait a long time in the checkout line at the store? Those of you that shop at Walmart. Okay, good. All right. By the way, I'm telling you, headphones and a cup of coffee takes all that away. Ever got mad because your children were not obeying? Yeah. Ever got mad because the waitress was slow or brought the wrong food? Ever got mad because you stubbed your toe? Anybody not ever got mad because you stubbed your toe? Okay. It's so common, Rachel just goes, okay. Ever got mad because you find out too late that you're out of toilet paper? Ever got mad because the line to use the public restroom is very, very long? Ever got mad because your spouse forgot to call and it was very late? Ever got mad because the clothes you wanted to wear are still in the laundry hamper and not washed yet? No. She takes care of it. Boom. Done. Ever got mad because your spouse has been unfaithful? Ever got mad because you ran out of time and weren't able to get some things done you needed to? Ever got mad because you drove all the way across town only to find the store was out of the item you needed? Ever got mad because the kids continually and relentlessly demand your time? No? No? Not anymore. Ever got mad because you forgot to do something you were supposed to do? All the time. Ever got mad because you have no time for yourself? Ever got mad because someone said something harsh and insensitive? Or because a store clerk was rude? Or because you were in a hurry and you hit all the red lights? Or your boss doesn't appreciate the way you think he or she should appreciate you. Or because someone tracked dirt into your freshly cleaned house. Or because the driver in front of you is going so slow. Or because someone... Okay, has anyone not experienced any of those, okay? Okay. We need to have a reality check with you if that's the case. Honestly, okay, honest question here. See if you can be honest with me, and I would like a response here. Has anyone here this morning already experienced anger this morning? Just me? Really? Okay, that's a little bit more for me now. Okay. Really? Those of you that have experienced anger this morning in some form, okay, and I got to get, you're going to have to get over some things here about what anger is and what isn't, and we're going to talk about that, okay? Here's the thing. There are all kinds of anger. There are, okay? And I want you to recognize that, and we'll go through some of this, but realize we make a lot of bad decisions when we're angry, right? For instance, have you ever done something you wished you hadn't when you were angry? This is going to take some honesty, okay? Have you ever said something when you were angry you wish you could take back? Have you ever made a bad decision when you were angry? Okay. I want to make sure I got the right people here and that you know you're in the right place. Have you ever ruined a friendship, a marriage, a family relationship, a ministry relationship, a business relationship because of anger? Mm-hmm. Okay. If not, good for you. We're angry at you. No, we're not. We're not really. Not at all. I'm actually happy for you. Solomon said, and it's in your notes, an angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sins. You might want to underline that last part of that verse. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sins. Author and pastor Chip Ingram, who we're using some of his stuff during this, he says, when angry, we're more apt to do something wrong. We often have wrong reactions and do dumb deeds. We say things we shouldn't be said. We lash out and hurt people. We do things we abhor. We build up fortresses to keep others out. Or we project our anger onto undeserving souls. We generally react in ways that intensify rather than relieve our anger. And that's one of the things we're going to address. Those things that we do that actually intensify our anger rather than relieving it or resolving it. So any you relate to this, right? Most of you, I hope. Okay. Well, we all have anger triggers. Anger triggers. Now, a lot of this, as you've noticed already, I'm going to give you several lists this morning. I've already been through a couple of them. We're going to give you a couple more. And not all of them are going to be on your notes. I didn't give you a lot of notes there, so you can scribble away and write what you want to. You end up, researchers tell us that you remember more of what you personally write than what you hear or what others write for you. So that's why we do handouts around here. But here are some common anger triggers. And what I want you to do as we go through this list is just to identify what are your common anger triggers. You may know them, but it's good to kind of a refresher so you have them out there in front of you. Common anger triggers. Let's walk through some of these. When we feel categorized or stereotyped, okay? When you feel like you're put in that box of, oh, you're just one of those people. Or oh, women are always like that. Or men, oh, you men, you're always like that. And if you feel like that, sometimes that can be a trigger for you. For some of you, it's not, okay? If you feel trapped, that's a common trigger. If you feel unfairly treated, you come out with in your head, you may not say it out loud, well, that's just not fair. We feel blamed. Some of you, that's a big trigger. Okay? When you feel like you're being blamed, rightly or wrongly blamed, but especially wrongly blamed. If you feel ignored, misunderstood, insignificant, belittled, put down, undervalued, add to that, whatever you want. When you feel entitled to something and you don't get it, that can be a trigger. And some of these triggers are easier to see in others, but really, we want you to look at you. When our expectations aren't met, that's a common trigger. When we are given unsolicited advice. Yeah, some of you just went, you know what you really need to do here? When we're teased insensitively. When we're criticized. When someone hasn't respected our limits, when we're given ultimatums or threats, when we're kicked, pushed, slapped, or hit, actual physical abuse there, that can be a trigger. When our space or territory has been invaded, who's been using my desk? Why are they here? When we don't feel safe, when we feel self-pity, and when we don't admit our imperfections. All of those are very common anger triggers. I know when I said each one of those, there was more than one person in the room and said, yep, that gets me. Yep, that gets me in it. And there were also many of you that said, no, that's not really a trigger for me. But those are very common. Are there any other common triggers that you can think of that will trigger anger in you or in others that you see? Being accused of being a racist, being accused of something falsely, okay? Being lied to. Okay? You may, as we go on, you may think of something else. Oh, yeah, that's a trigger for me. That happens, boom. All right? Most of my biggest regrets that I can remember, most of my biggest regrets have to do with mishandled anger. Most of the things that I think back on and think, I wish I hadn't done that, I wish I hadn't done that, was when I either said or did something because of anger. Anyone else with me? All right. So I assure you that we are not entering into this subject because we've got it all figured out. We're not teaching on this because we are the models of always handling anger well. And when Trudy and I go home, it's all love and peace and daffodils.
Good, because that was going to make us angry.
Yeah. That'd have been a trigger, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so perfect. Okay. And most of you know that's obviously not the case. But we believe that this is important. We believe that there's practical help, and especially practical help that God wants to give us in order to produce healthier, more God-honoring relationships. There are no magic formulas. We're not going to come up with anything probably that you haven't heard before, even. You may hear it in a different way, though. And you may hear it put together a little differently that'll spark something in you and that the Holy Spirit is going to use to produce in you that health and that God-honoring attitudes and actions that you need in your life. That's what we're praying for and aiming for. There's not going to be any shortcuts here. Neither is there going to be a lot of, complicated 18 step, all of this stuff that we don't end up doing. We're aiming for practicality, that this is stuff that you can do and you can handle and it can make a difference. And we're going to try to answer some questions, some very important questions. And they include four that I can think of. One is, when is my anger valid? When is my anger valid? Now, you don't have to write all this. This is just for your information. You can write if you want. But when is my anger destructive? How do I express anger? What type of anger expresser am I? And we're going to talk about the three basic types of expression. And what does God recommend regarding anger? Because he has some very good recommendations. Go figure. Here's what I believe to be true. When we learn to effectively experience and deal with our anger, we find that our relationships are healthier, our work is less stressful, and our lives are more enjoyable. That's where we want to go. And here's what I also believe to be true. We're not very good at relational math. We're not very good at relational math. Specifically, we're not very good at calculating where the blame lies. Is it my fault or is it your fault? And we start doing the calculations. We start running the numbers, okay? Who's more at fault here? We tend not to be very good at relational math. Am I the angry one, or are you the angry one? Well, I have some anger, but I think you're the angry one here. Okay? Very rarely, and Pastor Steve, all the pastors can tell you along with me that when people come for counseling, usually very, very rarely, I don't think I've ever had it happen, where somebody comes to me and says, you know, I'm the moron in this relationship, and you really need to fix me. Doesn't happen. It's always, we have problems, and I know I got a fault in this, but man, if you could help me with that other spouse or other person in the relationship, they are driving me crazy. You need to help me here. I need to know what to do. You know, how you can help me is to help them, okay? That's what I need. I bring this up because you might be interested in this subject in the hope that your spouse will change or some other significant person in your life will change, your child, your parent, somebody else. And you're hoping you're going to figure out how to make your spouse or your child or your parent or your friend less angry. How do I deal with them? Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about that, how to deal with somebody who is angry and how to deal with that anger that's coming at you. We'll talk a little bit about that. But we're not very good at relational math, and I can prove this, okay? If pick a relationship in which you experience a lot of anger, okay? If you have a relationship where there seems to be some discord and anger in that relationship, you picture it like a pile of anger, okay? And let's place that pile of anger in the middle of the room. And for the moment, let's not label it as your anger or their anger. It's just, there's a pile of anger in this relationship, okay? And maybe it's not a current thing. Maybe you can think back to relationships that you've had that there tended to be tension, there tended to be frustration, there tended to be this kind of, and we'll just label it pile of anger. Okay, we're going to put it in the middle of the room for now. And now, if I were to ask you, whose anger is that? Who's to blame for that pile of anger sitting in the middle of the room? And I were to ask you to assign a percentage to it. Okay, that pile, probably this much belongs to me and that much, they created that pile. Okay. What do you think, if I asked both of you, what would you each say? Now, you may, in rare circumstances, have two people that'll come in and say, well, you know, 50% of that is mine and 50% is theirs. Probably not usually. Probably as you look at your relationship, you say, you know, a good portion of that's mine. Probably 30, 35% of that's mine. But 65% is theirs. They're creating this pile here. And it may be true, but they're probably saying the same thing. And if you assign 65% to them and they assign 65% to you, you got a math problem, because that's 130% of anger. We're not good at that relational math. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yeah, and that's what I mean. Who caused that pile of anger? Who laid that pile in the middle of the room? Well, they created about 70% of that pile there, okay? I'm telling you. I got 30% in the game, but they got 70%. But see, you're both saying that. Time and again, I talk to couples, and they'll say, oh, and you get the one side, well, you wouldn't believe what they did. 70%, okay? You talk to the other one, oh, you wouldn't believe what they did. I got 30%. Oh, I'm not saying I'm above blame. I know I'm to blame for 30%. We got a math problem. It gets even more complicated when you get into the specifics of the anger. Because are her four angry words worth more than your two eye rolls? Or is the slamming door worth more or less than the deep sigh and the stomping feet? We trying to assign values gets kind of tricky there. What I'm saying is we very naturally count our own weaknesses as much less serious than of someone else. We tend to see our weaknesses tied to specific circumstances, whereas we tend to see others' weaknesses as more personality or character driven. Okay. If I have an angry outburst, Well, it's because someone pulled my trigger. However, if you are angry, it's because you're an angry person. That's just who you are. That's how you are. It's like if you're walking down the hall and you trip, and you go, oh, there was a little something there. You know, you see somebody else trip and say, oh, they're kind of clumsy, aren't they? It's a very natural thing. We see our little weaknesses and our problem with anger as much less serious. So here's what I'm asking of you as we go through this series. I must accept the fact that I am more wrong than I think. If we're going to deal successfully with the pile of anger that we have created, and that's primarily what we're going to deal with, is the pile of anger that we are creating and that we are dumping into our relationships, then we must accept the fact that I am more wrong than I think, because just naturally I am not assigning correct values. What are the correct values? Only God knows, really. But there is a truth there. And that's not to put you under false guilt. It's to bring you closer to a reality that is truth. We are usually more wrong than we think. Benjamin Franklin supposedly said, anger is never without a reason, but seldom with a good one. But what is anger? What is anger? American Heritage Dictionary says it is a strong feeling of displeasure or hostility. Synonyms for angry include enraged, furious, indignant, mad, seething, infuriated, aggravated, irate, annoyed, bothered, frustrated, huffy, inflammatory, irascible, provoked, red-hot, riled up, short-tempered, quick-tempered, ticked off, peeved, hot, and you probably think of a few more. No. Well, I'm going to give you a different one, because if you tried to fill in that blank, you got the wrong blank. Here's what I think anger, here's the working definition we're going to use of anger. Anger, and it's long, so I'm going to give you time on this. Anger is a common, unavoidable, God-given, morally neutral, emotional response of protective preservation. That's simple, isn't it? Something you're going to memorize and go home with. No, I'm going to give you time to write it down. I'll give you a second, because I want you to write all of that down. Like I said, writing notes is... It is there, right? Okay. Anger is a common, we all experience it. Part of the reason I went through those long lists of things is just to get you understanding this is common. It is unavoidable. Unavoidable. Every one of you have experienced anger. Without a doubt. It's God-given. It's part of God's design in us. And we'll go into this later, but it's not the result of the fall of man. Anger is not the result of a fall. It's not a result of sin. Anger is something that is part of God's original design in us. It is God-given. It is morally neutral. We're getting there. Keep going in the sentence. It's morally neutral. It's not a sin. Anger in and of itself is not sin. It isn't. Anger is not in and of itself bad. It's not in and of itself good. It just is. It's a signal. It's a feeling. We'll make this clear. It's an emotional response of protective preservation. Why did God give us this? For protective preservation. Okay. Protective, and we'll talk a little bit more about protective preservation of what, but in the first instance, protective preservation of righteousness. Protective preservation of God's gifts to us. If Adam and Eve had used anger correctly, they would not have sinned. They would have preserved what God had given to them in the garden. They did not. Okay, and just to be clear, I'll give you a couple things of what anger is and anger isn't. Anger is a tool of communication. Anger is communicating. It is that emotional response which communicates, has communicative value. It's telling you something's going on, something that you wish wasn't going on. Or it's communicating other things. We'll get to that as well. Anger is not bad. It's a tool. In and of itself, it's not bad. It is a morally neutral emotion. As we said, neither good nor bad. It isn't a sin in and of itself. It is, and this is very important, it's a signal of underlying emotions. Anger is one emotional response, and usually it indicates other things going on underneath it as well. A lot of times it's coupled with fear. It isn't, in and of itself, dangerous. And some of you are looking at that list going, whoa, 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 whoa. I've seen the effects of anger. I've seen what it's done. I get it. Can it be responded to badly, sinfully, wrongly? Yes. Can anger be used for very, very bad consequences? Yes. But it can also be powerfully and positively used. It can provoke us to good. When we see injustice and we respond by bringing hope and healing, our anger has done good work. When families in our church have seen children in bad situations without the love and the care of a parent, have seen children that are neglected and or abused and in terrible situations, there are families in our church that have responded, and I believe part of it is out of a holy anger at what these children have been deprived, and they become foster families, they've adopted children. That's part of a good response that anger can provide. Okay, that doesn't mean they went forward and went, take him away from you, lousy parents are terrible. Okay, it's not the kind of anger we're talking about. It's saying, I see injustice and I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to see places where God's work is not being done and I'm going to respond to that. That's holy and approved anger. The goal of anger is to protect and preserve. That's the reason that God placed it within us, to protect and preserve. Okay? If you've ever seen a two-year-old's tantrum, you might think that's not true. Because a two-year-old's tantrum doesn't protect or preserve much of anything. It breaks a lot. When people like ISIS blow things up, you say, well, anger's not protecting and preserving there. But that is what anger's job is. And actually, for people like that, for terrorists, for ISIS type of people, they believe they are protecting and preserving what is valuable to them. They're wrong in what they're doing, obviously. And we say, well, boy, it's great we're not like them, huh? Okay. When we feel threatened emotionally or physically, our survival instincts kick in. We want to protect and preserve us. The problem is that God meant for anger to protect and preserve what is right. God placed within us anger as a protection and a preservation of his righteousness. And instead, we often use it to protect and preserve us. Especially when we're not right. So instead of getting right, we just get angry. We know how it works. If you don't want people near you, get angry. Scream at them, shut them out. That works. If you don't want to be vulnerable, if you don't want to share deep issues in your life, if you don't want to struggle with inner things that God wants to work out in you, then just shut down or spew out. If that doesn't work, be sullen, withdraw, pout, be late, procrastinate, jab, be sarcastic, be critical, be fault-finding. It all works. It all works. Anger communicates through its intensity, and it communicates beyond what we speak. And so our job in here is to decipher what anger is really expressing. Many of us may start out, you may start out with the right reason and the right motives, but a lot of times we end up either with wrong actions or with a response that's really completely overblown. Okay, we may have a small thing that needs to be, you ever had that happen, right? You start small and all of a sudden you're going, why am I screaming? What am I doing? Anger can be a positive motivator. It can quickly turn negative, gives us trouble. Remember our verse from Proverbs 29. When we try to protect ourselves and avoid the truth, we start fights and we commit all kinds of sin. Anger is a problem when it is used in wrong ways. Anger is a problem when it occurs too often. Anger is a problem when it lasts too long. And anger is a problem when it results in inappropriate behavior. That's the problem anger that we've all experienced and dealt with. When it's used in wrong ways, when instead of being used for right, it's used for our own self-preservation of how we are. When it occurs too often, that's a tough one to measure. Okay. Lasts too long, again, tough to measure. Results in inappropriate behavior. While most of us would agree that we should get rid of destructive, inappropriate anger, correct? You agree with me on that? We should get rid of this inappropriate, problematic anger. The problem is that many of us tend to keep it around. Oh, no, I don't keep it around. Yeah, okay. So before we end here, real quickly, why we hang on to anger longer than we should. This is the last thing we're going to do this morning. Why we hang on to anger longer than we should. And I'm going to go kind of quickly, so if you don't get all of this down, you can go back and listen to the podcast. It'll be up there later today or tomorrow. Why we hang on to anger longer than we should. We hang on to it to control or manipulate others. We can hang on to it to regurgitate negative emotions. I don't know why we do that, but sometimes we do. We just want to feel it all over again. Oh, and we kind of chew on it. To relieve stress. Sometimes we hang on to it. If I could just blow steam, I'd feel so much better. Okay. To keep people at a safe distance. To avoid having to face our deeper, more painful problems. To draw attention away from real issues. Says issues, real issues. To hide deeper hurts. To feel dominating, intimidating, powerful. Oh, you should have seen when I give them a piece of my mind. Oh, they were really afraid of me. And we like that feeling. We do. To take revenge. We'll hang on to it. We'll hang on to anger sometimes longer than we should to avoid scrutiny. Because it kind of keeps people at their distance and they don't look too close. To avoid conflict. Sometimes we try to shut conflict down with our anger. Whether it's out loud anger or silent, I'm going to pout, not going to talk to you anger. To avoid change. To avoid having to face the unknown. And to feel superior to others. I want to ask you to respond to this, but do you recognize any of yourself in that? Okay, if you do, then that means you're hanging on to some anger that you need to get rid of. That's not good anger. It's inappropriate anger. And it's hard to get rid of anger when you're holding on to it really tightly. So some things I'd like you to consider this week. I didn't put them on your paper, but just things for you to consider. What makes you angry? In what ways do you tend to misuse anger? What perceived benefit do you think you're getting from your anger? What do you think you're gaining from hanging on to it? Has anger ever turned you into a beast? If so, what damage did it cause? And finally, this is just a statement for you. This week, stop and ask God to help you to be willing to let go of that anger you're hanging on to. Okay, let's pray before we go. Father, we thank you for your word is true. Lord, we know that you have given us good things and you have given us emotions that are powerful and productive, but Lord, sometimes we use them for wrong ways and selfishly. And Lord, I ask you this week that we would begin to see the truth of your word, the truth in us, and that we would line ourselves to you and who you are and what you long for us to be. Help us as we go forward in this. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. Thanks.